We will go ahead and begin with today's media availabilities. We're now joined by Shane Van Gisbergen, driver of the number 88 Chevrolet for Trackhouse, as well as owner Justin Marks. Justin, we'll go ahead and open it up to you real quick. Big announcement yesterday. Shane has signed for a few more years. Can you talk to us about what that means for the team?
Yeah, this has been a really, really fun project for the company. Obviously, you know, everything happened really, really quickly from Chicago to, you know, the truck race a couple weeks later, and then into the Indy Cup race, and then, you know, a season of Xfinity, and now full-time in the Cup Series for Shane. And, you know, I think it's been, you know, obviously we've got someone here that can win kind of anytime we show up on the road courses, and winning's so important here in the Cup Series, obviously. But I think what kind of excites us at Trackhouse more than anything is his speed of development on the ovals, and just working with him day in and day out, and, you know, recognizing that even though, you know, his history in racing has been, you know, not very similar to what, you know, the competitors in the Cup Series had, with just a lack of experience on the ovals, just his talent and work ethic and kind of showing his progression on the ovals has put our company in a position where, you know, we feel excited and comfortable to make a longer term commitment to Shane. We think he's got an oval win in him in the Cup Series, and you know, things are just coming together and really starting to gel. So it was just a good time to make a commitment to each other, and we're thrilled that he accepted the offer, and we just get back to work and keep doing what we've been doing.
Awesome. And Shane, what does it mean to you to have this extension?
Yeah. Morning, everyone. Yeah, it's been an amazing couple of years, as Justin touched on, how it's all snowballed and, yeah, how we've been going. And then this year, you know, it's been a real learning year, but I feel like we've made big progression. And then the road courses are obviously been a bonus the last couple of months. And, yeah, just it's been a cool team to be a part of. And the, you know, the win lunches we've been doing, seeing how much it means to everyone and how much everyone's, I guess this week even, the atmosphere in the shop, the build up and expectations now, it's really cool. It's cool to build a relationship with everyone there, and yeah, I've just been loving every minute. So yeah, looking forward to doing it for a few more years.
Awesome. Congrats to you both. We'll go ahead and open it up for questions. If you have one, please raise your hand and we'll get a mic to you. We'll start with Holly here in the front.
Congratulations to you both. Holly Kane with the NASCAR Wire Service. Shane, at what point did you decide, I want to stay over here and I want to race in NASCAR? Did you come to, I'm assuming you didn't necessarily show up in Chicago thinking that, but at what point did you feel comfortable and that this was a place that you thought, I want to stay, I want to do this?
It was probably after Indy when I ran 83rd and I had the most fun of my life just battling people all race on the oval there. Yeah, the truck race was awesome. I thought, this is going to be really cool to do. And yeah, like even so when after India, I think we did a deal pretty quickly after that. And yeah, like I just right from the start, I've enjoyed life and here and racing every week. And the challenge, it was probably time for me to have a new challenge in my career. I'd done Fiat Supercars for 15 years or something. So, yeah, the timing was just perfect, and I don't regret any minute. It's been the most fun I've had in racing for a long time. It's been really cool.
We'll go to Lee.
Lee Spencer, SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and CatchFence.com. Justin, can you address his work ethic to try to get better, to make the push, to be better on ovals? Because we know he's got this road course thing covered.
Yeah, I mean, I think in this day and age in the Cup Series, it takes a huge commitment because the series is so competitive, and it's the accumulation or the aggregate of so many small things that end up in success in the Cup Series, and that's data, simulation, really understanding the cars, understanding the development of the cars and how things change week to week, all of that. And you know, Shane's just proven very, very quickly that he likes to live in that area, that bubble of just really understanding all the technical details, understanding how the cars are built and just what it takes to go fast. And I think that, you know, and there's like also just not a lot of noise. It's just the work. It's just getting in and doing the work and you know, putting in the hours and the focus when that's really what's required to go fast these days, is really to understand these race cars and understand the technology, the aero, and how to get the most out of them. So, you know, I think that's probably contributed to how fast he's been able to develop on the ovals. Is just, you know, he's a student and he watches tape and he watches the races and looks at the data and really kind of really asks the questions of why. And I think that, you know, at this day and age, at this level, that level of commitment, that level of focus, and that level of intelligence are real factors in being successful. And he just demonstrated that from the first time he showed up, you know, even at Chicago in 23.
We'll come down here to Chris and then to Dustin.
Chris Mike, catchfence.com. Shane, this is going to be your first playoff appearance in Cup. What's realistic for the 88 team? And Justin, the same question to you.
I really have no idea. I try not to race with expectations and just take it as it comes, but I feel like we're ramping up a lot and we're starting to go to tracks that will be the second time for me, and I felt like I got a lot better at that last year at Xfinity, and yeah, hopefully the same trend this year. But the first round is very difficult. We go to Darlington, which is my favorite oval, but the other two, Bristol and Gateway, I haven't really been to Gateway before, so it's going to be very difficult. But if we get to the second round, it's probably going to be easier than the first one, you know, so I don't really know how we're going to end up, but I do feel like we're improving every week, and you know, our average running position or pace is definitely trending in the right direction. So if we execute, who knows what can happen.
Yeah, I don't know if I think of what's realistic or what the goals are from like a finishing standings position or round or anything like that. I mean, I think what we have an opportunity to do with the 88 team is to go into the playoffs a lot of playoff points and be able to have, you know, somewhat of a cushion. So, you know, if we go do a good job and he executes it at those first three races, to be able to get to the second round, like you mentioned, I think as the momentum continues to grow and his experience continues to grow and we get through that first round and he has a good second round, I think the round of eight is something that's, you know, very possible for us. And then you're really in the shit. Then you're like, really, you know, those are the best guys in the sport executing at the most important time of the year. And that's when it just gets really, really hard. So, I mean, I think the focus, it really just stays with the week in and week out of just improving and grinding. And you know, this is the first, I think, of many playoff appearances for him. So I think it'd be good for him to just get the experience of how the dynamic of the championship changes once we get to those rounds.
I'm down here to Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Justin, where are you in the Trackhouse 2.0 process right now?
Well, I think as we sit here today, I'm probably more excited about the future of this company than I've been ever since day one. And I think that started with, you know, hiring Todd Meredith as our president of racing operations, who's come in the first 3 weeks and really done a very deep dive into the organization. You know, this is a guy with decades of experience in the Cup Series and you know, championships under his belt as an executive in the sport, really knows, you know, what it takes to assemble great working groups, how to maximize your opportunity every single week, and you know, where to push on things, where to organize budgets, where to organize people and org charts, and where to invest in tools and all that. So having him come in has really been, you know, it's really opened up the 2.0 process. And he sat with me 2 weeks ago in Nashville and sort of presented his plan to me, and I left that meeting just so fired up and so excited. So, you know, it's going to be a strengthening of our workforce, going to be a strengthening of our tools. We're right in the middle of that process right now. And I think when we unload it at Daytona in 2027, I think the team will just be more powerful than it's ever been since its inception. And I'm really excited about it.
And obviously, I understand that teams evolve, and you know, teams don't stay static. You came in with a big push, and you guys did some really good things early, and were kind of building and building. It seemed like you were kind of on the precipice of something really big, and you haven't been able to meet that, which is why you're doing 2.0. Why did it get to a point where you were getting close, you couldn't get over that hump, and then having to go through this 2.0 process? We learn from everything that we go through. So what did you learn from what wasn't maybe done as well in that case.
Yeah, well, I think if you look over the last decade, you know, the history of the sport, there's always ebbs and flows and periods of power at different teams and all that. And you know, it's knowledge and technology and process development, things like that. I think specifically for us, you know, when we had a lot of very, very motivated and excited and talented people when the car, we do always, but like when the car first came out and the teams didn't really know how to fully exploit the next gen car, and we were going to the races in 22 and 23, and it was really just kind of an execution game of just getting the car on the racetrack and executing well, and we're a great team at execution, that really fell into our wheelhouse. So we had a lot of success in 22 and 23. Then you have the normal players that, you know, your Hendricks and your Gibbs and Penske's that, you know, over time really start to activate the depth in their organizations and the tools and technology they have to really understand what makes the car go fast. And so it's a different ball game now than it was in 2022. And so as that knowledge center around the cars has developed, you know, that's where we have found, you know, where it's been more difficult for us, because as an organization, we're not as big as Penske and Gibbs and all that. So I think that's how I would answer that. It's just that sports gotten tougher and the, you know, the cream kind of rises to the top. But with that being said, the plan that we have in front of us, I think, presents an opportunity for us to come back as strong or stronger than we've ever been and really contend for a championship, because I've seen the plan and I've seen the methodology and the psychology around the plan, and it is a championship team framework. It's going to take money, it's going to take sacrifice, it's going to take patience, it's going to take a lot of work. But as these big teams with a lot of history in the sport now start to really understand the cars, we understand now where we have to make investments and focus our time to get back to where we need to be, and that's the plan.
Can you do that as a, you know, the third essentially Chevy team? I know you talked about just kind of that order. I know you get support from Chevrolet, but just not getting as much as potentially.
Well, we get the same as Hendrick does, because we're a key partner with Hendrick, but Hendrick does have, you know, has a lot of depth in their organization that we don't have. I mean, I'm very bullish that we can do it because of this race car. I mean, it's why I'm in the sport to begin with, because of this race car. I mean, if it was 2013, I think it'd be hard to be a lot harder to do it, because, you know, we're not designing and manufacturing cars anymore. So we understand what that window of success is, and we understand kind of the playbook to be able to get there. So I remain confident that, even, you know, it's a huge thing for us to be key partners with Chevrolet. So we have access to data, we have access to support. But you're only as good as what you can do with that support, what you can do with that access and that data. And so that's what we're focusing on. And I think ultimately we'll end up in a business structure that puts us in a position to succeed and contend for championships.
We'll go to Dustin, and then we'll wrap with Zach.
Dustin, let me know, JC, Shane, I know you like upended your whole life to come here, and your situation is a little different, but like, how long do you want to be here for?
I don't really know. I haven't thought about it. Like, I definitely have a lot of years left in me, and it seems like, you know, we're lucky as race car drivers, we have a very long shelf life. You know, you see guys competitive till their late 40s, so I can go as long as I want. But I do have other things in racing I want to try. I still want to do some European stuff. I want to do Nürburgring 24. That's on my list, to do that properly. And I want to do a bit more rally car driving. I got into that 2021, 22, and that's a crazy sport, so I'd love to do more of that. But definitely for now, I want to stay in NASCAR and concentrate on that. But I don't have a timeline. You know, 2 years ago, I wasn't meant to be here. So I'm really happy here at the moment and can see myself doing it for a while. But it is a sport that fully consumes you. You know, I am very homesick. I miss home a lot, and there's no time to get back there. So, yeah, I'm a long way from home. And, yeah, I'll move back there as soon as I'm done racing. But yeah, to answer your question, there's no timeline. I'm happy here for now.
And Justin, kind of off Dustin's question, Ross had the high of winning the 600. And since then, I think he's only like two top tens, and the qualifying's not been great, which probably puts him behind for the whole weekend. So where do you kind of assess where the one team is at going into the playoffs?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, you know, very, very talented group of people, very motivated group of people, and working very hard. It's you know, we're trying a lot of different things right now. We've got just a couple weeks left to try a couple things. I mean, the big thing, look, the pace in the race has been pretty good. I mean, I think, you know, we're able to make lemonade out of lemons a lot more often than not. I think that for us, we do have to get better on Saturdays. We absolutely have to get better on Saturdays if the one team is going to have an opportunity at a deep run into the playoffs, because like you said, if you qualify 28th, it's just so hard to pull yourself out of that, you know. And so that's where the focus is. I'll say that, you know, if we can get those Saturdays to be better, if we can get the one team off the hauler faster in practice, better qualifying, better pit selections and better position for strategy, then, you know, we see what that group is capable of. So, you know, my hope is that we'll get there. There's certainly as much fight in that team as there's ever been. We just gotta keep working really, really hard.
Zach Atanzuetti, KickingTheTires.net. Justin, Shane was definitely, I would imagine, the goal of Project 91 when you started that. I know a lot has gone into Connor for this year, but do you have any update on any interest for Project 91 going into 2026 and beyond?
I love Project 91. It's near and dear to my heart. I think it's important for the sport. I think it's obviously been very accretive to our business. We've been able to do big sponsorship deals that have come through Project 91. Obviously, great talent, you know, through Project 91. So it's an important mechanism in the business. It is a draw on the company. It is tough. I mean, like, Daytona was really, really tough this year to take four cars there, which is why, you know, with the races we're doing with Connor, like, we wanted to do Daytona and then park it. You know, I very much would like to keep that program alive. We've got a couple of fairly interesting opportunities with everything that we're trying to do in the company to get us back into championship form. It's like number 85 on the list right now, but it's not dead. There are conversations happening. There is a strategy around it. Just right now, we got to get these three race cars running better on Sundays.
Go ahead, Holly, really quick.
I just wanted to ask you about Watkins.
Yeah, it's a really cool track. It's like Phillip Island with walls. I feel like it reminds me of that track in Australia. It's so fast and flowing, and we were just having a little walk around. Like, the surface has held up really well for how old it is now. So, yeah, it's a proper tighten your belts type road course and no room for error. The walls are so close, it'll bite you really hard. But, yeah, I like it. When you're getting a good rhythm here and you can flow the car and try not to use the tire, it's one of the best feelings in a race car ever around here. And yeah, just got to not hit the bus stop wall this year, I'll be fine.
All right. Thank you for your time, Shane and Justin. Good luck this weekend.